Yud Zayin Sivan, Thursday the 20th of June, Rabbi Yitzchok Weitz, Understanding the Misonanim.
Good morning. I have to say as a disclaimer that someone met me in shul and said to me, it looks like I'm a Misonim sympathizer in the title. So I just want to, I'm using this as a press release to clarify my stance on the Misonim. In this week's, you'll see towards the end, it's for you to judge. So in this week's Sedra, we see the Nun Hafucha, the inverted Nun, that seemed to act as a form of parentheses for the two psukim of Vayehi ben Seir Aaron v'yom Moshe, and then the Benuchi Yom Ashuvu Hashem. And the Gemara in Shabbos Tav Kuf Kezayin Amud Aleph tells us Tana Rabbonon Vayehi ben Seir Aaron v'yom Moshe Parsha Zu Osala Hakadosh Baruch Hu Simonios Melemala Lemato. Hakadosh Baruch Hu made markings immediately preceding and following this parsha of these two psukim of Vayehi ben Seir Aaron v'Nuchi Yoma, to separate it from the rest of the Torah, because these two psukim are a sefer in and of themselves. Kaman Azlo, who does the statement go like? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Mishli, Chatzva Mudeh HaShiva, that wisdom has carved out her seven pillars, says the Gemara, Elu Shiva Sifrei Torah, these are the seven books of the Torah. Now traditionally, we speak of only Chamishei Chumshei Torah, five. So this statement is taking into account that the preceding section before the inverted nun of Vayehi ben Seir Aaron, from the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar until Vayehi ben Seir Aaron, is one Sefer, Vayehi ben Seir Aaron uv'nuchi yoma is another Sefer, and the preceding, the subsequent section, is another Sefer in and of itself. Says the Gemara v'loma k'suva kan, why is it written here, this parasha of Vayehi ben Seir Aaron? Says the Gemara, k'dei lehafsik bein peronos rishon leperonos shniyah. In order to separate between the narrative of the first punishment and the narrative of the second punishment. Peronos Roshona is Vayisu Mahar Hashem. They traveled away from the Har Hashem. We'll discuss it later in greater depth. And Peronos Shnia, Mayhi Vayhi Ha'om Ka Misonanim. This is the parasha of the Misonanim. Now, if we can just quickly do a timeline of the events leading from Matan Torah to the Misonanim, just to be able to get a clear picture. I used the Sefer Kodesh Hakodeshim from Reb Tzvi Arya Zilber in Manchester. So Tes Zayin Iyar, which is a month after Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Mon started to fall. Vav Sivan, a few weeks later, was Matan Torah. Zayin Sivan, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Shemayim. Tes Zayin Tammuz, Bnei Yisrael mistakenly calculate this as 40 days after Moshe had gone up to Shemayim, and they create the Egel. The Tzemei Hador say that this was the first charity campaign. And Yud Zayin Tammuz, they served the Egel, and Moshe comes down and breaks the Luchos, and Shevet Levi became the Kahanim instead of the Bechorim. And Yud Ches Tammuz, Moshe burns the Egel, and Moshe davens for forgiveness for 40 days. Chav Tes Av, which is day 39 or day 40, is the parsha of Psal Lecha, where the Rabbeinu Shalom gives him permission to make his own luchos, and taka the next day, Rosh Chodesh Elul, Moshe goes up for the final 40 days with the new luchos, and on Yud Tishri, on Yom Kippur, he comes down with the luchos shnias. And Bnei Yisrael are forgiven on Yud Tishri for the luchos shnias, for the Chet Egel, and Bnei Yisrael are instructed to build the Mishkan, and the collection starts for the materials for the Mishkan, and crowdfunding has become the trend in Klal Yisrael. Chof Hei Kislev, the Mishkan is completed, but it's not built. Chof Gimel Adar, a few months later, the Mishkan is then erected, and then is the inauguration, Shivas Yimei Hamluim, and Aleph Nissan, 7 days later, is the begins the 8th day of the Miluim. The Nisim are Makriv, start being Makriv Lekabonus, and the Shechina descends on Klal Yisrael, and this finds us at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, where we see the way Klal Yisrael were encamped around the Mishkan and they were enveloped by the Shechina Kedusha. Beis Nissan, Gimel Nissan, the Levim prepare for the Avodah, and that's at the beginning of this week's Sedra, Kachis HaLevim Mitoch Bnei Yisrael, and Yud Daled Nissan, which is the first anniversary of Yetzias Mitzrayim, is the Korban Pesach and the Parsha of Lomi Nigora, where the Yidden came and said that they were Tomei, and they were given the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni. Yud Daled Iyar is Pesach Sheni. We're almost towards the end. Chaf Iyar. This has been the first year after the Yidden had been in at Har Sinai. The Yidden had been informed during that year of more and more mitzvahs, and Moshe taught and reviewed with them more halachas and more mitzvahs. And the routine during that first year after Kabbalah Torah was a constant process of learning and integration. But then came Vayisu Mehar Hashem. It was 10 days short of the first anniversary of having arrived at Har Sinai, and Nosu Mimidbar Sinai Lemidbar Poron. They traveled the journey, which should have taken 11 days, and only took them 3 days, and at that point, after those 3 days, they should have entered Eretz Yisrael. And this finds us in this week's Sedra, Chof Gimel Iyar, the Pasha of the Misoninim, Vayhi Omka Misoninim, Vativa Bom Eish, and the Rabboni Shlalom burnt a fire amongst them, and immediately on that same day, they didn't give up, the Misoninim happened, and then straight away, the Asaf Suf Asher Bekirba Hisavu Tava, and the story of the Kibbutz HaTava, where they complained about the Slav, and they complained about the Mon, and they received Slav for 30 days and engorged themselves, stuffing themselves with the Slav. Chof Beis Sivan, which was 30 days later, they traveled to Chatzeres, and that brings us to the end of this week's Sedra, which is the Pasha of Atadab and Miriam Vaharan, the Moshe, and they waited 7 days for Miriam, and which brings us to Chof Tes Sivan, which is the Meraglim. And the Meraglim come back on Tisha B'Av, and immediately begins, according to Moshe's, the story of Korach. And then for 38 years, they're wandering around Eretz Yisrael. They're wandering around Midbar Sinai. So we can see... they were wandering around the Midbar. So we can see that the entire... They had 1 year, almost, of Kedusha the Tahara in an elevated status, where they were at the foot of Har Sinai, and then the following few months were extremely stormy for them. So let's take a closer look at the story of the Misoninim and the story of the Asaf Suf, which seem to be two unrelated acts that took place on the same day. The Pasuk tells us, "Vayhi ha'om k'Misoninim ra'a ba'oznei Hashem." The people took to complaining bitterly before Hashem, says Rashi, "Ein Misoninim ela loshen alila." The term Misoninim denotes people who seek a pretext. Omru, they said, "How much we have struggled on this journey. It's 3 days that we've been traveling now. It's the first time they've been traveling for almost a year. And we've had no rest from the suffering of this journey." Hashem heard and he was incensed. What's Moshe's reaction? The people cried out to Moshe. Moshe dams to Hashem and the fire dies down. Moments later, the riffraff in their midst felt a gluttonous craving. If only we had meat to eat. Now the whole of Klal Yisrael, not just the Asaf Suf, are involved in this. And they start reminiscing about Mitzrayim, Zechanu Esadogo. We remember the fish we ate and it was free. Kishuim, Avatichim. And we ate melons, leeks, onions, garlic. Fantastic stuff. And we have nothing except for the mon. Our life is parched. And what's Moshe's reaction? He sees this as very bad. So let's ask a few questions, and hopefully we'll be able to understand this parasha a little bit more. Who were the Asaf Suf? So Rashi says very clearly that the Asaf Suf were the Erev Rav. However, if you look in the Medrash says a few times, in Yalkut Shemoni, in this week's Sedra, the Asaf Suf asher bekirvoi ein Asaf Suf elo Sanhedrin. The Asaf Suf with the Sanhedrin. V'chein v'Asaf Suf asher bekirvoi Rav Shimon b'Menasya Oima elu haskenim shebehen shenema osfoli. In the parsha of Asaf Suf, when Moshe Rabbeinu complained to the Rabbeinu Shlom that he can't deal with Klal Yisrael, the Rabbeinu Shlom said, "Osfoli shivim ish mizikne Yisrael asher yedato. You should collect for me." Shivim Zakenim, says the Medrash, these were the Asaf Suf, these Shivim Zakenim, the elders of Klal Yisrael. So who were the Asaf Suf? Were they like Rashi says, the Erev Rav, or were they like the Medrash says, this Kenim? Second question is, that when the nation complains about the strain of the journey, Moshe comes to their defense, Vayispalo Moshe Lashem. When the nation did the Chet HaEgel, Moshe again, he deflects Hashem's wrath by smashing the Luchos. However, when they complained for the meat, suddenly Moshe hands in his resignation as leader of Klal Yisrael. Lama ro'isol am avdecha, losum es masa am hazeh olai. And he says, Hanoichi Harisi is Kalama Zed, that I conceived this people, that they should be my responsibility, where am I meant to find their meat? Le'uchal Hanoichi Levadi Losis is Kalama Zed, ki kovid memeni, it's much too much to me, then kocha at oiseli, if this is what you're doing to me, if this is what you want, Rabbi Nishleilam, hargenu no horoi, just kill me. So, what's Pshat? The Moshe's attitude towards Bnei Yisrael had changed. Compared to previous Averas, as the Chetah Egel, where the Chetah Egel was a merida against the Ribbono Shel Olam, over here, a trivial complaint that they wanted a bit of meat triggered a disproportionately harsh response. Question three. What's the significance of the Pasuk of Ayhi ben Soya Oren used to separate the Peronis Rishonas, Vayisu Mahar Hashem, and the Golden Era, the first Peronis after the Golden Era of the Dodea, and the Peronis Shni of the Mesoinonim, followed by the story of Hasafsuf? Why these psukim of Ayahib and Soyorim? And the fourth question is, Zechanus Hadogo, they didn't have access to fish in the desert, obviously, but how were they pacified by the proposal of the Slav when they were reminiscing about fish? And the fifth question, final question is, what was the food situation during that first year after Matan Torah? Did the Yidden eat nothing but mon? We know that they left Mitzrayim, they had tzoi nevoka, gmalim chamorim, and we know that 40 years later, we see them coming into Eretz Yisrael, they had tzoi nevoka, so clearly they had access to meat, so were they allowed to eat meat? And if yes, why were they complaining about the mon? So the Avanacha says, Ashaf Avot, he says like this, that the Loshen of Asafsuf Asher Bekirboi, his Avu Tava, he says, Asafsuf is a Loshen of Isuf, gathering, the rabble. Frigda Avinachal, why is he using a Loshen of Asafsuf, which is a strange word, a double Loshen of Isuf? It should say, the Ha'osuf Asher Bekirboi. So he says, Azai, that the double Loshen of Asafsuf alludes to two separate groups who were complaining about the same thing for different reasons. Says the Avanachal, the Erev Rav, they were complaining simply because his Avot Avot, they were tired of the constant state of Ruchnius that they'd been experiencing at Har Sinai, and they wanted to get their teeth stuck into some prime cut Gashmius. The second was the Skenim. The Skenim, they cultivated a craving, but for a completely different reason. The Yidden had lived their entire life for the last year, a life that was Kulei Ruchnius. Even the Gashmius was Ruchnius. The water from Be'er Miriam wasn't simple water. The mon was a celestial food. If you look in the Gemara in Yomad Daf Ayin Hey, you see a detailed description of the heavenly qualities of the mon, and later on in Pashas Chukas, where complaining, which seems to be the Jewish national sport, V'nafshenu kotza b'lechem ha'kaloikil, and our soul loathes this cursed bread, says Rashi, l'fi shehamon nivla be'evirim, karuhu kaloikil. The mon was miraculously absorbed into their limbs, meaning that they didn't have to excrete the mon, and they derisively called it light. Omru, osit hamon hazeh sheyisbach b'meyenu. This mon is going to at some time explode within our stomachs. Klum yesh yelid isha shemachnis ve'nemoti. Is it normal for a mortal who takes some food and doesn't eject it? So we see that the mon is not a gashmistika food that causes our bodies to react in a regular gashmistika way. And this was disturbing this Canaan. This Canaan felt that they were limited in reaching their tachlis in Avodas Hashem if their life was kulei ruchnius. They wanted to grow in their Avodas Hashem by turning gashmius into ruchnius. They wanted the opportunity to be able to overcome their tavas. So this is the reason that they complained that they wanted, the mon was limiting. They wanted his avu tava, they wanted to have that tava in order to overcome it, and that would bring them closer to Hashem. If their intentions were pure, why then were they punished? So he says this Canaan were punished because they should have distanced themselves from the Erev Rav. If we both want the same thing, even if it's for different reasons, then we don't want to have anything to do with it. And Taka the Tetzor was tragic, and they were punished for this, because it confused the rest of Klal Yisrael. Moshe asks Hashem later to provide meat for Sheish, Meis Elef Ragdi Ha'om, 600,000 Yidden, who are now clamoring for meat, a request that had started out as from just a few, the Asafsuf, the rabble, now became the request of the masses. So not why, because the Yidden, Klal Yisrael, didn't understand the difference between the pure Avoida of this Canaan and the crass mindset of the Erev Rav. So this is why the Taka Asafsuf was Taka both this Canaan and the Erev Rav, and this is Taka the reason that even this Canaan had to be punished. The Kedushas Levi says a Kedank, And it's important to think of this vart as a standalone Dvar Torah, certainly not in the context of the rest of the shir, because it's a little bit of the rest of what I'm saying, but it's a good vart to say over. He says, what is this Zochanus Hadogah? Where were they expecting to get fish from in the middle of the Midbar? And why were they pacified by receiving the slav as a solution? So the Gemara tells us, says the Kedushas Levi, that the mon had the ability to conjure up the taste of any food that you wanted. A food that you had tasted already, you were able to think of, and the mon would taste like that food. However, someone who'd never eaten a slice of pizza would not be able to make the mon taste like pizza. Says the Kedushas Levi that the taste of kosher meat is very different to meat that has been prepared properly with shechita and melicha. So in Mitzrayim, they ate meat which hadn't been kashered properly. Now after Kabbalah Satorah, they were meant to be thinking about eating kosher meat, and they were unable to do so. So that's why they were complaining. Zachanu es hadogah, the fish which the halachic preparations of fish has not changed, that we can remember, and we can think about fish in the mon. However, mi achilenu bosa, how are we going to understand the taste of kosher meat? So the reference to dogim was only as an emphasis of their desire to taste kosher meat, which is why the focus was always on meat, even though they're referring to dogim, and that's why they were satisfied with slav as a solution. The Ramban says, Nosu Maha Sinai, says the Ramban, and it's brought in Tosfos, Ketinoi Kabereach Mebeis HaSefer. The Klal Yisrael had been at the foot of the mountain for almost a year, and they were relieved that they were finally leaving Har Sinai. This was a place that they had begun to associate with mitzvahs, with the Olah Torah, and they were under the illusion that once they left Har Sinai, they would no longer be subjected to and introduced to additional mitzvahs and halachas. And this is one of the reasons for Vayicha Apoi Vativa Bom Eish. I saw from one of the Magidim that he says a moshel, a 20th century moshel, not 21st, we'll see in a minute why. He says that if someone is driving, he needs to drive to a destination he's never been to, pre-sat-nav, and a friend of his says, I'm also driving there, so follow me in my car. So he's driving there, and on the way he picks up hitchhiker, also not trendy nowadays. So he picks up the hitchhiker, and the hitchhiker starts getting frustrated with him. Why are you following this Shmerel? He's driving so slowly, you can overtake him and go forward. Versteht's, the hitchhiker doesn't understand that he would only get to his destination by following the first driver. So Hashem is saying to Klal Yisrael, you want to enjoy life, you should know that the only way that you're going to enjoy life is through Vayehi ben Soya Ha'ori. Wherever the Torah goes, you have to follow, because that's the only way you're going to get to your destination. And it doesn't matter if you're in a glorious time surrounded by the Shekhinah HaKadosha at the foot of the mountain where you're encamped next to the Mishkan, or whether you're in a matzav that sees you jumping from one peronos to another. You need to know that wherever you are, Vayehi ben Soya Ha'orin is the only way to achieve success. And that's why Vayehi ben Soya Ha'orin is put in between the first two peronos that happened immediately after the golden era of the Dodea. In Achrei Mos, we are commanded that in the Midbar we can't shecht animals outside of the Azorah, and the Gemara tells us in Chulin, Daf Tesayin on Midbeis, Rishmol says, Shebetchinon Nesa Lehem Bosa Tava. When the Yidden were in the wilderness, they were not permitted to slaughter and eat meat just because they wanted to eat meat. The animal first had to be offered up as a korban. When they came to Eretz Yisrael, the Yidden would be permitted to slaughter animals when they wanted, and they could eat meat as they desired. So Bosatava was forbidden in the Midbar. Now, if you wanted to eat meat in the Midbar, you had to be makriv a korban shlomim. This is the bit that's a little bit associated to the Kedushas Levi. You have to be makriv a korban shlomim. Let's think about the process about how to be makriv a korban shlomim. The chazav ha'shoik goes to the koyim, the emirim have to be burnt, and the rest go to the balim. The shlomim can only be eaten on the day of the hakrava, and the following night, and the following day, for 36 hours. Lots of allusions to charity campaigns over here. Shlomim must be brought and eaten in a state of purity that's extremely demanding. Now is not the time to be marich. Says Reb Shaul Amsterdam from Binyan Ariel, it's Moedeke Gedank, he says azay. Think about it. During the time after the period of Matan Torah, when Bnei Yisrael were encamped at the foot of the mountain, there were only three kahanim available to shecht. Aharon, Elazar, and Itamar. So for as long as they were static in that one place, this was okay. Because they made a rotor and they queued up for shechita and they rationed their meat in such a way that it would last them for 36 hours. And they managed to go from one 36 hours to another 36 hours by being makriv, kabonas shlomim the whole time. And they'll send another family member to queue up in the queue, and there'll be millions of yidden waiting, and the three kahanim would shef the shlomim for them. However, vayisu mehar Hashem, when they travelled from Har Hashem, derech shlishis yomim, and the oil moyad was now dismantled for transportation, so no kabonas could be offered. So during these 3 days, Klal Yisrael had felt for the first time in almost a year what it felt like not to have any meat. Chaf Aleph Iyar, the first day of travel, they had meat. And that night, Oil Chaf Beis, they also had meat. Chaf Beis Iyar, they had their meat. It came to breakfast of Chaf Gimel. And they were preparing their Tzedel Aderech. They couldn't find the cold cuts for the sandwiches. So suddenly, that's why they started to complain on the third day of the travels. So, says, I was thinking that perhaps we can put this all together and suggest that initially, Moshe understood their complaints to be Meterech HaDerech. The Eden were tired, they'd been traveling for 3 days, it's not easy to travel, they weren't used to traveling. However, once the Asafsut began to complain about the meat, he suddenly put it into a different context. He put it into the context of how they fled from Har Sinai. Reb Shimshon Pinkus says similar to this, that he saw suddenly, oh, you're a Tinek HaBereach Mibes HaSefer. He understood that the Yidden were no longer interested in a 24-7 connection to Ruchnius. They were no longer interested in living a life of a Malach. They found this too oppressive. They found it too restrictive. So when they made the Egel, as warped as the Egel is, a part of it came from a desire to stay connected to Hashem. Moshe was no longer with us. We're going to replace Moshe Rabbeinu with an Egel. So this Moshe could defend. But when the Mesoyanim complained about the tiresome journey, Vayishma Hashem Vayichar Apoi, Vayispalo Moshe El Hashem, he came to their defense because he thought they were grumpy due to the long journey. But when the Asafsuf complained about the meat, and they're saying they couldn't survive for 3 days without meat, or for 1 day, we're talking about half a day, Sachakol, without meat, and they were romanticizing the bitterness that they'd felt in Mitzrayim, he understood that their commitment to Kirvas Elokim was compromised. If that's where they're up to, then Hargeini no Horig. Then I don't want to be leading them. So to finish off this in a bit more of a positive note, at the beginning of the parsha starts off with V'dalta Salaviyim Mitoch Bnei Yisrael, and the pasuk later on says V'etna Salaviyim. Rashi says a beautiful, beautiful thing. He says Chamisha Pa'omim Nemru Bnei Yisrael B'mikrozu. Rashi says that 5 times Bnei Yisrael are mentioned in this pasuk. Why? Lohidiyach hibosom, in order to show what affection they are held by in Hashem's eyes. Shenichbal as kareisein b'mikra echot k'minin chamishachum shetora. The mention of them is repeated 5 times in one pasuk, corresponding in number to the chamishachum shetora. A moedik echizuk. Even though the Bechorim were penalized, and the kohanah was taken away from them and given over to the Levim, the Rabbeinu Shlomim goes out of his way, lahidia chiboson, by saying the words Bnei Yisrael 5 times in one posuk. However, freitzach the shaula, what's the shaykhis to chamishachum shetora? Say 3 times, what's up with chamishachum shetora? Habichketrach, then maybe you can say that Rashi starting off, we started off by saying the Gemara in Shabbos, that Sefer Bamidbar is really 3 Sforim. So there's really 7 Sifrei Torah. And the Sforim are split up between the different Peronias that happened in the Vehiben Saya in the middle. So you look at Sefer Bamidbar, you get Chalisha Zadas, because the majority of Sefer Bamidbar, certainly from Bahashas Baaloscha onwards, is one Peronius after the other. And so we think to ourselves, Zichar, the Rabbeinu Shlomo is going to forsake us. So Rashi is being mechazik us, and he's telling us, you should know, Yisrael afal pi shechata Yisrael hu, that you should know that even though the Bechorah had the kahuna taken away from them, the Rabbeinu Shlomo says to them that this is still called chamishachum shetora. There's five chamishachum shetora. The whole of Sefer Bamidbar, I'm only looking at ke'ilu, it's vayhi ben soya orin, because I know that that's be'emes where your tshuka is. I know that the day really wanted to serve the Rabbeinu Shlomo. So that's the chizuk that we can take out of that first Rashi. If I've got 3 more minutes, I'll just finish with a completely different vort. It's an Ostrov Seguin classic that's Zicha, going to make everyone happy around the Shabbos table. It's Gevaldik. He says like this, at the end of the parasha, Miriam is isolated with Tiras for 7 days, and the Pasuk uses a very unusual description. The Pasuk says, Vayom Hashem al Moshe, Vaavia Yorok Yorak Bifoneo, Halo Sigolim, Sikolim Shivas Yomim. Hashem said to Moshe, and if her father had spit in her face, would she not have been shamed for 7 days? And she's isolated for 7 days. Frank asks of Segun, what's the reference to her father? How does this come in now? It's a strange loshen. So he says a brilliant vault. At the beginning of Sefer Shemos, we learn, Vayelech Ishmi Beis Levi, Amram left Beis Levi, Vayikach is Beis Levi, says Rashi, Porosh hoyo mimeno mipnei, Vayikach is Bas Levi, Porosh hoyo mimeno mipnei Gzeiras Paroi. He had separated from her because of Paroi's decree that the newborns should be drowned. Says Rashi, V'chozo v'lokcho, and he went and he brought back his wife, V'zehu v'yelach. Why? Shehalach batas bitoy. Miriam said to him, Gzeiros chakosha mishel paroi. Your gzeiro is much worse than paroi. Paroi legoza el alas chorem, v'ato gamkin el hanakevus. And he took her back and he entered into a second marriage. Frigga also seguim that halachas of kibbut av say that you're not allowed to admonish your father. The only way you're allowed to admonish your father is if you feel that he's going against the Torah. So Miriam, she said to herself, Amram at that time had a boy and a girl, Aharon and Miriam. Beshamai paskens that the mitzvah of Pur Revu is two boys. So Miriam therefore reprimanded Amram, saying that you're going against the halacha of Beshamai. Beshamai says that you're meant to have two boys and you've only got a boy and a girl. Or however, fast forward to the parasha of Atadab and Miriam Vaharon. Now Moshe's Purish Me'ishtoi. Moshe has two boys. He's got Eliezer and Gershon. And Miriam is still dissatisfied. Because now she's taking on the side of Bishillel. That the mitzvah Pru'urvu is a Zachar and a Keva. So the Zoizuk, the Rabbeinu Shleilam, if Lemafreya, she shouldn't have told her father off because she holds Taka like Bishillel, then V'avio Yorik Yorak B'fonel. Moedek Gedank. A gracious Shkoyah. Shabbos. Thank you.